Let's take a moment just to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this amazing morning that we get to just worship you. God, not one of us is here by an accident. You've called us here. And we're here to worship you. But we're also here to have you speak to us. And Lord, you've already done that through the songs that we've sung, through our connecting times, through the different activities that we've had so far this morning. Yet, Lord, we're also asking that you would speak to us again. Lord, you have one thing, you have two things maybe that you want us to hear this morning. To not only hear it, but to have it affect and to change us, to have it an effect and change us and to apply it into our world and into our life. So we ask, Lord, speak to us this morning. We want to hear from you. Your servants are listening. Amen. So thank you, Elena. Thank you so much for bringing the life of Hannah to us in a very visible, very real form. I've loved that. I've loved having these monologues from this person, from this friend of mine, that we've had actually over the last number of weeks, because 3 weeks ago or so, I did a bit of a monologue on Joshua. That's it. It's been so much fun. As many of you know, over the last few weeks, since the end of Christmas or so, we've been going through different Old Testament characters. In fact, we have a number of them on our wall right here. And I want to thank Lisa, Lysak, and others who have kind of put to life in various pictures the different people of Deborah and Jonah and Samuel and Balaam and Elijah and Nehemiah. It's been kind of fun to do that, kind of fun to actually see these things. And one of the things that I've noticed is that as we've gone through these different characters, God has shown us something through each and every one of them. And really, the character of Hannah is no different. In fact, probably the story of Hannah, as we've seen here through Elena, and as 1 Samuel chapter 1 tells us, it probably grips me as much as any of the Old Testament stories we have, because it says something that I think is very, very true, and that is that life and faith can be messy. That's true, isn't it? So put up your hands if you've never had any mess in your life. Thank you for not lying. Because we've all had mess in our life, be it within our faith or being in relationships or something like that, right? Life is messy, and if life is messy, that tends to make faith a kind of messy as well. And for Hannah, as we've seen here this morning, her messiness of her life and her faith is that she couldn't bear children. And culturally back then, that was one of the main roles of a wife. If someone couldn't have children like Hannah, then there must have been a reason why God was punishing her because of it. For Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 11 says that God would bless the people by giving them many children. And since Hannah, and the story goes, since Hannah couldn't have any children, well, obviously, there was some sin that she had done, or there's some other way that God was displeased with her. And because she was barren, she was looked down upon and thought lesser of. And actually, we'd seen that very much through the monologue that Elena gave to us. Hannah had wondered, what had she done wrong to deserve being barren? She wanted to know. And instead of receiving sympathy from her sister-wife, from Penaniah, all she got was being taunted. Salt was rubbed into that wound. Truth is, Hannah wasn't a perfect lady in any sort of way, but nowhere do we read in the scriptures that her barrenness was caused because of sin, or that God was punishing her for some reason. As the story goes, and as we saw, ultimately he had a purpose and he had his timing, but Hannah didn't know that. She had no idea that that was going to happen or what was going on. All she knew was that her barrenness had reduced her life to tears. All she knew was that her life and her faith was a mess, and she couldn't understand why. You know, as a pastor, I sometimes have gotten that question. People have come into my office, or people have wanted me to go for a visit with them, and the story goes something like this. You know, Pastor Brian, I'm a good person. I'm not perfect in any way, but when I sin or when I mess up, I go and I confess it before God, just as the scriptures tell me to, and all that stuff. So why? Pastor Brian, why? Why do I have lupus? Why do I have some other sort of disease? Or why do I have this type of long-term illness? Why, Pastor Brian? Why can't I have more than one child? Or why can't I have any children at all? When God knows I desperately want one, what have I done to deserve this? Tell me. Why is God punishing me? Have you ever thought or felt something like that? You see, my sense is that many of us have. That life and faith has gotten so messy, and we kind of wonder why. Why is this happening to us? And I'll be honest, when I've had those questions to me, they're hard questions to answer. They're really hard, because sometimes we know reasons why, and sometimes we've gone and we've discussed that with these people, but sometimes we just don't know. We just don't know. The issue really becomes this for us, and that is, how do we respond? When these why questions come in the messiness of our life, how do we respond to them when God is seemingly silent? Do we get angry and resentful towards God and towards others? I've seen it happen. I truly have. Do we go like that? Or do we do as Hannah did? 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10 says, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord." So in the messiness of her life and her faith, it drove her towards God and not away from God. See, I don't know how you guys read this verse, but when I read this verse and when it comes to my ears, to me this isn't just some type of fluff prayer that she's praying. This is a heart, a gut-wrenching prayer, because she knew that God is the only one who could do anything about it. See, in the messiness of her life and in these why questions that seemingly are not being able to be answered, she looked towards God and was dependent upon him. When life and faith get messy, or when you are in that why place, do you pray? Do you fall on your face and weep and pour out your soul to God? Or do you not bother? See, will your messiness drive you deeper towards God? Or will it become a wedge to drive you away from God. Because you see, the choice is ours. When those why questions are not being answered, will it drive you closer or will it become a wedge to drive you away? And the character of Hannah says to us and shows us that this why question of her being barren drove her deeper with God, even though she didn't understand it. Will your messiness drive you deeper, even though you don't understand it? That's the question that God has for us this morning. Well, as we know, and as Elena showed us so well, the story goes on from there, doesn't it? Story goes on, it says that God had answered her prayer, and she became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son whom she named Samuel. And I can just imagine the joy that she had when she gave birth to Samuel, when she took little Samuel in her arms, just as I've seen Tamara and Clayton do, or Tamara and Cam do with little Clayton. I can imagine she would have looked at Samuel and said, finally, finally, God has answered my prayer. But notice what she prayed when she prayed for Samuel. She said in verse 11, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. So think about this for just a moment. What did Hannah want more than anything? A son. What was she giving up to the Lord? Her son. What an amazing price that she was paying. She wouldn't have him with her anymore. She couldn't teach him. She couldn't guide him. She couldn't snuggle him up nice and close. She couldn't stroke his hair when he was asleep. He couldn't wrap him in her arms when he's having one of those bad days. Your moms, you know what I'm talking about. She couldn't do this because the scriptures tell us that she kept this promise that she had made to the Lord. Brian Bill has said this: many people make promises to God only to forget them once time passes. It's kind of true, isn't it? Or at least that's been my experience when I look at my life, if I'm honest. And then when I've been around some people, is that God may have stirred in them something to do, and they've made promises, and they say, yeah, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. You put this on my heart, my brain, and I'm going to do this. Yet when it comes right down to that decision point, they backed away. And they backed away seemingly because it just seems to be too hard, or there's too much of a cost to it, be it either in time or money or something else. Have you ever gotten to that place? Lord, I know that I said that I would go to camp this summer, or that I wouldn't work to do this, or that I would help serve in this area. Or, Lord, I know that I said, and as you nudge me, I will do this. But God, it's really hard. That means, Lord, I've got to give up this and do that. Lord, I'm not sure I'm willing to pay that price. Have you ever thought or maybe gone through that process? Well, let's look at Hannah. Whatever it is that you may have done or made or maybe what God may be asking you to do. Is it as hard or more costly than giving up your son? Maybe. But maybe not. So here's the thing. Sometimes these promises or these commitments that we make to God, they're not easy, as it wasn't for Hannah. It won't be for us. But the blessings and the transformation we get far, far outweigh the costs. The blessings and the transformation that we do when we walk down these commitments that we've made and these promises that we've made to God, even though there is a high cost to pay, even though it is incredibly hard, the benefits far, far outweigh anything. And Hannah, if Hannah could be here, she would tell you that exact same thing. Because see, folks, that's what God does. When he nudges us to go and to trust him with things, his blessings far, far outweigh the cost and the price. He is a good, good father. Well, I'm going to end this morning. I love the story of Hannah. I love it because when life and faith got messy, she prayed. It drove her to God, and it did not become a wedge. Will the messiness of your life and faith do the same? The other thing that we saw this morning was this, that she kept her promises, though it cost her dearly. When people look at you, will they say that you are a promise keeper, that you are somebody who is true to their word, even though it may be hard, even though it may cost? Is that what people see? And that is that what somebody will say about you? Folks, the blessings will far, far outweigh the cost. This is really character stuff that we're talking about. And the amazing thing is that God is all about changing and shaping our character. You see, when he nudges us to do something to follow him, he's going to take us from here to here to here to here, because that's what he does. When he asks us to make these commitments to him, he will change us and he will shape our character. And he will do it as we submit to him. Because you see, that's ultimately the lesson that we have here from Hannah. Is that she submitted to God. She submitted to him and saying, God, I don't understand why I have a son. And if you will give him to me, I will give him back to you. She submitted to God. And that's probably one of the greatest character developments that we can have as followers of Jesus. And that is submitting to God, allowing him to take us from here to here to here. And so my prayer for us this morning is that we would do the same as Hannah, that we would submit to God in all aspects of our life. That this character trait that we see in Hannah, may it be seen in us. Let me pray for us this morning. So, Father, thank you for this amazing morning that we've had so far. It's been so much fun. It's been fun worshiping you. It's been fun hearing from you. It's been fun having this baby dedication. But, Lord, I truly pray, and Lord, I pray that we would be people that would be submitted to you, that we would walk down those roads and those avenues that may be hard, may be difficult, there may be a cost to them, but There's such an amazing road because you are leading us. May we be submitted to you and trust in you when we have these why questions, even though we don't know the answers to them. Maybe you'll show them to us, maybe you won't. But we submit to you because you are this good, good Father. May we as a Richmond Park church be known as a church that is fully surrendered and committed to you in all aspects. This I ask and I pray in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.